for joining Paula V again today. Another episode of Why Am I So Happy? Well, I am really happy today because I have a fantastic gentleman with me today to share information about his new film, Who's Jenna? I have with us today Thomas Baldinger. He is a producer and director known for Two Sides of Love, Who's Jenna? And Who's Jenna actually is going to be, has been invited for a red carpet screening at the Golden Door International Film Festival on the 24th this month. I am so excited to have you here today, Thomas. This sounds like such a fun movie.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. No, it is. It was a fun movie to make, and we had a screening of the film back in May earlier this year to a sold-out crowd of 300-plus people. We got some great reviews and great feedback, so it's been an adventure from the get-go. So we're really excited to be on your show, and thank you for having us.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm so honored. And it sounds so fun. It stars Tracy Birdsall as a young woman whose new boyfriend suspects she might be an adult film star. How fun is that? So tell us, how did Who's Jenna come about and what inspired that story?
Excellent questions. So the story came about from one of my relatives, in fact, it's my father. He works for a very large financial news organization out here on the East Coast in New York City. And he writes some, you know, very interesting financial news articles. And he always ends his articles with a kind of like a funny or interesting story. And about 2 or 3 years ago, he wrote at the end of his article about how there was a very large institutional bank, a large commercial bank that was suing a number of adult film stars because of what they do. They were basically, let me rephrase that. They were actually closing the bank accounts of these adult film stars, and the adult film stars were suing the bank.
And there was
a big lawsuit going on, and I read it, and I said, wow, I was like, this is a very interesting story. A little bit too heavy and dramatic for me. I'd like to see if I can spin it into some sort of a comedy, and that was the skeleton of the story, and then it just kind of exploded from there. I wrote it as a short film, actually, when I first wrote the script, and then we did a reading of it and invited some people that I trust that would give me some honest feedback, and they all felt that they were like, you know, Tom, this feels like a bigger movie. This is a feature. So I went back and rewrote it, and this is where we're at. So that was the genesis of Who's Jenna.
Oh, how fun. What a great beginning. Oh my gosh, that is fantastic. So, and I understand that the script changed a little bit along the way for different reasons. Is that correct?
It did. And a lot of that goes, and it was changed for very, very positive reasons. And that's due to this amazing cast that we have. I wrote the script, and what I wrote was a good script, but this cast, when we were on set, just took it to the next level through ad-lib. We had conversations as we were about to shoot. You know, the actors who live and breathe these roles every day, a lot more than I do as the writer and director, I gave them the freedom to bring their own spin to set and bring their own spin to the character, and it really just developed into something a lot better than I envisioned. So, you know, kudos to the cast of Tracy Birdsall, Bill Sorvino, Gary Pastore, Joseph D'Onofrio, Mike Toda, Edwin Guerrero, Lenny Benito, Vinny Pastore, and Vicky Bedetto. Jen Jacob, they were all fantastic, and they just brought so much more each day. So it was a collaboration, and that's the way I like to work. I don't like to work in a vacuum. I like to work in a collaborative effort so that everybody feels that they have something that they have a vested interest in this. And in fact, even the crew, there were moments where the crew kind of put their two cents in and said, hey, would you want to try this? Would you want to try that? And it made it a very fun process in making the movie.
Oh, that is a beautiful mindset, Tom. Then you have everyone's energy into it and everyone's input. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it was really great. It was a lot of fun, and this word gets overused, but it was an incredible experience.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so excited. So, what's the tone of the movie? Would you say it's a sweeter, more romantic movie than we might think?
No.
No.
I wouldn't say it's a sweet romantic comedy. it's been coined by some reviewers as a quote unquote wacky romantic comedy. Uh-huh. And wacky in a very positive light, because it's, you know, you've got a nice love story between Bill Sorvino and Tracy Birdsall's character. And it starts off that way with a nice kind of simple love story. And then we get to meet the other characters of the film, like Joseph D'Onofrio's character, Andy Roma, and Gary Pastore, his character of Joe Barsha, who plays Bill Sorvino's boss. We meet Mike Toda, who plays a fictional adult film star. So we get to start meeting all these characters about, you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes into the movie, and then the wheels start to come off, and in a very good, fun, humorous way. And so it's a mix of, there's something about Mary to with a mix of Caddyshack and Animal House all at the same time.
Oh my gosh. Oh, it sounds so fun. Were there other movies that kind of inspired how you went along this theme of this movie?
I would say, I'm a huge fan of movies like Caddyshack, mm-hmm. Animal House, like I mentioned before, The Blues Brothers. Some of that Back to School, just some of those old school great comedies, you know, Blazing Saddles.
Yes.
We didn't really hold back politically. We skated, you know, when you see the movie, we skate on a very fine line. But we do it in a very classy way. We're dealing with a subject that is the adult film industry, and yet there's no sex in my movie. There's no nudity in my movie. So it's, you know, we touch upon the subject, we touch upon the industry in a very comical way. Another movie that inspired us for one scene was with Boogie Nights with Mark Wahlberg. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we took pieces from that, and it was the backbone, it was the inspiration for us to make this kind of comedy.
Yes, and these types of movies, Tom, are ones that someone will want to watch over and over again, you know, because they just enjoy them. I love it.
Yeah, I've had people after the screening say, I got to see it again. I missed this joke. I missed that. and not because they weren't paying attention or that they were bored. It was, they were laughing at something and they missed another line. So we've gotten some very good feedback. I think it's the type of movie where, you know, it's an hour and 20 minutes where I just want my audience to sit back and have a good time. Leave the movie theater or, you know, get up from their couch after seeing and saying, hey, I enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to seeing it again.
Yes.
So it's like one of those movies that, you know, it comes on TBS or FX and you sit and watch it. Go, yeah, this is a funny movie. I'm going to watch this.
Yes.
You know, we're not making Oscar-winning films here. It's not an Oscar-winning film by any stretch of the imagination, but it is a fun comedy that audiences can relate to, you know, men and women, and they can just have a good time and laugh.
Yes. Yes. Oh, it sounds fantastic. And, you know, I'm excited. I see it as a movie as you mentioned, someone's going to want to see it over and over because, oh my gosh, there was so much happening and so much fun because you can go into it again and catch something you missed because you were so busy laughing.
Exactly.
Just really pure entertainment and fun, it sounds like.
Yeah, that was the object of making the movie, and I think we've gotten there so far, but, you know, not putting the cart before the horse, we still have a long road ahead of us. Mm-hmm. The screening that you mentioned is only going to be the second, you know, screening of the film, and then we're going to be sending it out to distributors and sales agents, and with the hopes that it gets picked up and it's out there out in the public even more.
Excellent. So, in just a moment here, we're going to pop out for a break, Thomas, but would you mind telling us with what you just explained? So to the listeners who are going to really be watching for this and how can I see it, what tips do you have for us on how we'll find it to see it?
Well, and how you, I'm sorry, did you say how
we'll find it to be able to see it and watch it?
Where
do we go?
So, you know, after this screening, we're going to be sending it out to a couple different distributors who have actually reached out to us, who heard about the film through word of mouth, which is fantastic. And what happens is, you know, a distributor or slash sales agent will pitch the film to networks, will pitch it to the Amazon Primes of the world, the Netflix, the Hulus, the Showtimes, you know, Cinemax, HBO, FX, although this probably won't get on FX because of the cursing. There's a lot of cursing in it, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like my first short film, Two Sides of Love, is on Amazon Prime now. So we have that distributor who's looking to maybe take Who's Jenna and put it on Amazon Prime.
Excellent.
So it's sort of those venues. And, you know, the industry has changed so much in the past 10 years and even in the past 5 years that, you know, streaming movies, I'm looking at my iPhone right now and I watched a video this morning on my iPhone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Off of Facebook.
Yes.
So people are going to the movie theaters, but more people are watching movies from the comfort of their own home, from the comfort of their train ride or their plane. So
yes.
the good option for independent filmmakers like me is the streaming world, like Amazon, Hulu, Netflix, and so
excellent.
Forth. So that's what our hope and plan is.
So basically, we've got the name of the movie. We can Google, we can watch for it, and just see it all over the place or whatever we need to do. I love that. I love that. Well,
you're
welcome. Everyone, we're going to pop out for just a moment, but I'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, I am here with Thomas Baldinger. He is the producer and director of several films. We are discussing his latest film, which sounds so fun, called Who's Jenna? So, Tom, let's jump right back in with some more fun information about this film. I would love to know your process on how did you choose your cast? What is that like?
With a dartboard. No, I'm just kidding. you know, this cast, I am truly, again, this word has been used before and it's sort of flaky, but really very, very blessed and lucky to have this cast. One of the first people that we cast was Tracy Birdsall. And I met Tracy at the Action on Film Festival, Action on Films Film Festival out in Los Angeles, California. My short film, Two Sides of Love, was up for an award. Was up for a number of awards actually that year, and Tracy was getting an award that night too. And I remember sitting at the award show. It was a really beautiful, beautiful award show run by the Action on Films Festival, which is run by Del Weston. They do a great job. You know, real black tie affair. And they called Tracy up to receive this award, and she's walking across to the stage, and I looked at her, and I looked at my wife, and I said, "That's my Jenna." And my wife said the same thing. She goes, "Oh my God, yeah, she's Jenna." And I reached out, and I didn't know Tracy. I mean, we kind of like, hey, hi, and bye kind of thing. And I reached out to her, and it was great. She read the script, loved it, and we signed her on. Bill Sorvino and I, our paths have crossed in the film festival market. Bill Sorvino and his wife are the founders of the Golden Door International Film Festival. And my short film was there, and Bill and I kind of crossed paths and talked a lot, and I've seen his work. And I met with him, and I said, "Bill, you know, I was actually casting Bill in a different movie that I wrote, and we shifted gears." And I said to Bill, "I was like, look, Bill, I'm like, we're not going to do that movie, but I'd love for you to do this movie, you know." And I gave him the script of Who's Jenna, and he read it. He goes, "Oh my God!" He goes, "I got to play the lead. I got to play the lead." And I think I actually had him cast for a different role, and he's like, "No, I can do the lead. I can do the lead." And I was like, you know what? Let's do it. And it was fantastic. Gary Pastore, another gentleman who I met on the film festival market, and another great actor, a very good friend. Him and I, we bumped elbows rubbing elbows a lot at different festivals on the red carpet at different festivals. And we always said, we got to work together. And I reached out to him. I was like, "Gary, this part is perfect for you." And he read it, loved it, and jumped on board. Mike Toda is actually a radio DJ who was interviewing me for Two Sides of Love. And after I got done talking to him, I'm looking at him going, you're very talented on the radio. You're an actor." And he goes, "Oh yeah, let me send you my reel." So he sent me his reel, and I was like, "Oh, this guy's great."
Oh, I love it.
And so it's just kind of, and then Joseph D'Onofrio, heard about the film through the casting, reached out to me. Him and I had a great conversation, and I know his work from Goodfellas and Analyze That, and The Bronx Tale, and I was like, "Oh, this guy's a great actor." And then we got Vincent Pastore, and Lenny Venito through Gary Pastore. So, you know, and Mike Toda got us Victor DiDetto. So, you know, like I said, it goes back to that collaboration of networking, knowing people, and collaborating really brought this all together. So I couldn't have done it without, you know, Bill's help, Gary's help, Tracy's help, Mike, you know, all of them, Gary, all of them. I know I'm forgetting anybody who's listening to this. You know who you are. I love you all. And you guys were all great.
Yes. Oh, I love it.
Wow.
How fun.
Was that a good speech for you there?
Oh, it is. And I love it because, you know, you were just open and the perfect people came to you. Isn't that just fantastic?
Yeah, I was very lucky. Very lucky.
Yes. Now, I understand, was it filmed in your area as well?
Yes. Excuse me. Yes, the movie was filmed. All of it was filmed in New Jersey. A large part of it was filmed in Somerset County. Other parts were filmed in Jersey City. And as well as Red Bank, New Jersey. So I live in New Jersey. I live in one of those three areas. I don't want to say where. But I live in one of those three areas, and it's, yeah, the town, the counties, the local businesses were very appreciative, or I'm very appreciative of them opening their doors to us and allowing us to make this film. So, you know,
yes,
kudos to all of those local New Jersey businesses. Thank you to them, because we couldn't have done it without them either.
That is just fantastic. I love it. Well, you know, this sounds like such a fun film. Now, these actors that you brought in, did they all happen to be in your area as well?
I would say 90% of the cast are from the Jersey area. Tracy,
nice,
from the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
We had, Amber Lynn is in the movie. Amber Lynn has a cameo in the movie. Amber Lynn is an actual, is a real life adult film star. And so we flew her out for a cameo in the film, which is a really great cameo, actually.
Wow.
And done in a very classy way, because she's an adult film star.
Mm-hmm.
We did it in a very classy way. putting her in the movie. So if you know, those were the two from L.A. Oh, and Roddy Marmo, who also is in the movie for a cameo. He lives out in L.A. as well. But everybody else, Kevin Carr, Mike Toda, everybody else is from New Jersey. Bill, Gary, Joseph, they're all from New Jersey, New York area.
Oh, man, it's got to be so inspiring and fun for you, Tom, to make great movies like this and bring all these people together on these projects. I can just imagine how great that is.
Well, it was nerve-wracking. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that my head wasn't spinning the first day we screened it. And I'm going to be nervous as all get out come September 24th. Mm-hmm. Because it's like putting your child up on a stage and saying, do you like him? Do you like
yes,
her?
Yes, yes.
You know, so it's a very nerve-wracking thing. And, I appreciate you saying that we made a great film. I will never say that it's a great film. We made a solid film, but I'm going to leave it up to the audiences to decide whether it's great or not.
Yes. Well, I'm just feeling some great energy and I'm putting it out there. I know it's a great film. I can't wait to see it.
You're going to be getting a copy of it very soon.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I'm so grateful. Oh, thank you. You just made my day. Oh, gosh. Well, I'm afraid we are going to have to say goodbye. Any last something you'd like to say to everyone, Thomas, before we say goodbye?
Yeah, definitely a shameless plug. Come to our website, www.624-productions.com. And check us out on Facebook. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter, at 624Prod LLC. On Facebook, come to our website, sign up, get our newsletter, because we got a lot of new things that are going to be coming out in this year and next year. So, we're going to be, sign up for our newsletter because we're going to be dropping little clips of the film, new trailers and everything like that. So,
oh, I love it. I love it. I'm going to sign up for your newsletter. Oh, well, thank you so much, Tom. This has been so great.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having us on.
Oh, you're so welcome. And to our listeners out there, thank you for joining us today. Big hugs and blessings. Everyone have a great day. Hugs and blessings your way as well, Tom.
Thank you very much. You too.
Thank you. Bye, everyone. Everyone, this is Paula Vale, founder of Wellness Inspired and host of the Why Am I So Happy show on BBS Radio. My passion is sharing the beautiful healing modality of Reiki with the world. I help you reach a new level of self-awareness and create a more confident and empowered version of yourself. Learn how Reiki will change your life. Go to wellnessinspired.com. When you live a life with love and compassion, you allow your blessings to manifest. Check out my Reiki training and Reiki practitioner mentoring program and look for my soon-to-be-released ebook, Why Am I So Happy? At wellnessinspired.com and the paulavnetwork.com. Big hugs to everyone. Paula V. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Paula V here. So happy to have you joining us today. I have a fascinating guest for you today. I have been so excited for this chat. I am bringing Brian McClure to everyone today. He is best known for his performances in the hit series Hawaii Five-0, the comedy The Starving Games, and the upcoming sci-fi project Space Command. This young actor, who trained extensively with Billy O'Leary and Diana Castle, now appears in a new horror thriller web series called Strings. I'm so excited to hear about this. And this has been described as a mix between the Saw franchise and Teen Wolf. That sounds really fun. Anyway, let's just get rolling here, Brian. First off, I'd like to say welcome. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Paula. Thanks for having me, and thanks for the nice introduction. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm just so honored. Before we discuss your series, Brian, please tell us a bit of your history and what brought you into the path of an acting career.
Yeah, that's actually, it's kind of a fun story, I think, because I never grew up actually wanting to be an actor. Growing up, I played a lot of sports, and as I like to tell a lot of people, I say, growing up, I wanted to be a pro basketball player. I just never grew up, because I'm not exactly very tall individual. So I definitely played a lot of sports, very passionate about that, did a lot of that. And I think that the passions and stuff that I, and the hard work and the hard work ethic that I was able to develop through sports really has translated into this acting career that came later. I always appreciated art, however, growing up. I did a lot of drawing and painting and those kinds of things. And so when it kind of came down to me deciding what I wanted to do with my life, I actually started to study graphic design for a while. And so I know a lot about web design and graphic design. And so I was actually planning on that being my career, but I found that God had a different plan, because he started bringing acting into my life when it wasn't something I planned on doing. I was looking for a summer job actually one summer, and I saw something online that said make money acting. And I had some friends growing up that did some commercials and like print modeling and stuff and some plays, and they really enjoyed it. It always looked like fun, and I know they made some decent money doing some commercials and things. And I was like, well, you know what? I'll apply for this summer job and see what comes up. And I actually didn't hear anything that summer, but the following summer I got a call out of the blue where they said, we want you to come to this commercial audition. And I actually had completely forgotten I applied for that thing in the first place. And so I kind of like looked to my roommates at the time, and I'm like, guys, I think this is like a scam phone call. They want me to come to some commercial audition. And I'm like, what the heck, you know? So I go, and I end up booking this first commercial audition for Windstream Communications that I auditioned for. And I was in there for maybe like half a second, you know, but it was really, it's always fun getting on set. People from all different walks are there, and so I got to meet a lot of interesting people. There's always some food on set. I love food, and I got paid just to do something really fun. I was like, wow, that was fun. Wow, why have I not been looking into this more? And so I also ended up that same summer, I ended up being an extra in a movie. So that was fun, but I kind of just was like, oh, that was a fun hobby, you know, and I just kind of kept studying and learning about graphic design, since that's what I thought I was going to be. But things just kept coming back to me. I ended up, because a girl that I was dating at the time, there's always a girl involved, she wanted to take some classes, acting classes, and I had thought about doing that too because of my interests were growing in it. I thought it was fun. So I ended up taking some classes, and then a group started in Omaha, Nebraska, where I was at the time, and I got involved with that, and one thing after another, and before I knew it, I felt like God was calling me to move to Los Angeles to pursue it, and as soon as I felt that calling and made that decision, I ended up booking a role opposite Tom Arnold, and it made me eligible to join the union. The people that came to Omaha, Nebraska to film it came from Los Angeles. So I had friends in Los Angeles already. I met three other people that wanted to travel out there. So I had people to go out there with me when the time came. So everything, you know, once I felt that calling, everything kind of fell into place. And I definitely want to say that it has been, you know, the whole journey hasn't just been easy, but, you know, there have been a lot of signs that that I'm following what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yes.
So that's kind of how it came to me, and never something that I really had planned on doing.
Oh, Brian, that is such an inspiration. That I absolutely love that, because it's so true that we can think we're going one direction, but God, source, it just, things open up and lead us down another road, and things
mm-hmm.
manifest that we didn't even dream possible. I love it.
Yeah, I love it. It's been cool. It's been fun to see how that, you know, all plays out.
Yes. Oh, that is so exciting. Oh, so exciting. Now, you have done science fiction, comedy, drama, action, adventure, and now horror. Brian, how do you choose the projects that you venture into?
That's always a fun question, because I feel like, you know, not being Matt Damon or not being a star, you pretty much choose what they offer you at this point. And I mean, unless, of course, it goes against what I stand for morally and so forth, but, mm-hmm. you know, I like to look at acting as a way of exploring a different way to look at life, you know, a different journey. They're all different adventures. And so, so to me, it's just, I'm not particular about the story if it's a good one, you know, if it's a great story. Yeah. I'm not partial to what the genre is. It's just like, let's dig in and have some fun. Let's go on this adventure. And, that's, I guess, mostly how I get engrossed, and I just have interest in adventure and exploring. So whatever the genre is, and if it's a good story, then I'm interested.
Oh, I love it. And Brian, what was it about Strings that appealed to you?
You know, when Strings came to me, my manager in Los Angeles, he sent me this audition, and they actually gave us some dummy sides. So it wasn't even you know, sides that were actually in the actual script. So I didn't fully know a whole lot about it. In fact, it was called the Untitled YouTube Series. So I didn't even know the name, not a whole lot of research that I could do on it. But the character that they had created, the character that I've got to embody as Riker Smith, it's a very rich character, and there's a lot going on with him. So right from the limited amount of material that I had with Rikers, and that wasn't even his name at the time, because, you know, they didn't include that. I just really enjoyed digging in, because it was something that, it's a different way than I carry myself normally, in my day to day. I feel like in this series that I've been blessed with a lot of really fun dialogue. Like I'm very snarky, and there's a reason for it, but I feel like I've been gifted by the writer with a lot of things, and some of that was definitely present in the sides that I was given right from the get-go with the audition. And it was interesting, because I put myself on tape from Atlanta, and they actually booked me for this lead role right off tape. So that was really an exciting thing, because it's not always common, but I think that's happening more and more now, because more and more people are actually doing audition taping with things filming all over the place.
Yes. I love that. So you can tape yourself the audition, and you just send that to them, so you don't have to go in person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a number of different ways it happens, but a big platform for a lot of the projects that are being cast comes through Actors Access, as any actor or any individual that's just getting into acting can log on that website and create a profile and start submitting themselves for auditions. And sometimes they'll request you to put something on tape and send it back to them through that website. And I believe that's what we did with this particular audition.
Yes, yes. Oh, my goodness. And I'm really intrigued with the, you know, that the Strings is a mix between Saw and Teen Wolf. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. I think that a lot of people that I've spoken with, it definitely, I feel like the style that it's shot in and kind of the fact that there are a lot of kind of puzzles and clues that the whole group of teens are getting sent through reminds them of a Saw-esque kind of thing. It's definitely not as gory as Saw. I mean, has its moments, but it's not as gory. But I think the whole tone of the show is reminds people of Saw. And I think the fact that it's a group of teens is the kind of the thing that reminds people of Teen Wolf. You know, it's a group of teens, and they all are kind of trying to figure out the connection that they have, and there is a lot of backstory between all of them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, that is so fun. I love it. I love it. And it actually opens with you and the other main characters trapped in an inescapable room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
Fun and golf.
Oh, fun. Oh, yeah. I just can't wait to see this. This is too fun. Well, Brian, we do have to pop out for commercial. So everyone, don't go away. I will be right back with Brian McClure. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I am here today with Brian McClure. If you're just joining us, we are having a fantastic time. Brian is an actor best known for his performances in Hawaii Five-O, The Starving Games, upcoming sci-fi project Space Command. He is now doing a new series called Strings. I just love hearing about all these different projects you have, Brian. It is so fun. And I would love to ask you, how is it different working on a web series now compared to the work you did on the traditional series, Hawaii Five-O?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't think all web series are the same. So, because like a web series like House of Cards, you know, would definitely be different than the shorter format version that we've done with Strings, because our episodes are anywhere from, you know, just under 5 minutes to 7.5 minutes episodes, where House of Cards, you know, is closer to from 45 minutes to an hour, and they have a lot bigger budget. Their production is probably closer to what it's like on actual television, I would imagine. But the difference that I've experienced working on a couple different web series in comparison to Hawaii Five-O is, I mean, Hawaii Five-O has a huge budget. So they have tons of people on set. The pace at which it goes is very fast because they have a lot of hands on deck and a lot of money at stake. So they're hiring really people with a lot of experience if they can help it. So everything's rolling pretty much like a machine, because they're essentially, with our long episodes of television, it's essentially like filming a feature-length movie in a week in some way. That's what people compare it to. So it's a very fast-paced kind of work environment. And with Strings, since our episodes were a lot shorter, we didn't have that same kind of pace. Our budget was smaller, but we've made it look like a really great quality project. But it was just, I think a lot of it just comes down to what budget's going to dictate and how that's going to, you know, allow you to move quicker or slower, and how many takes you need. If there's a deadline, if there's a quick turnaround with it, you might only get, you know, one or two, maybe three takes on any given scene. Where if you have a little more time, you can have a little luxury as far as how many times you can shoot a particular scene. But for me, I think those are the main main differences that I've experienced, just how many people are around and the pace at which it was filmed.
Awesome. And with the, you know, you are on such a beautiful path, all these projects, all these shows, it's so exciting. Mm-hmm. Now that you're working on Strings, do you have some upcoming projects, or are you in the midst of some other projects as well?
Sure, yeah, it's been a busy summer for me. We did Strings, and then I actually got to speak on a panel at Comic-Con this last month about Space Command, which you mentioned, which is a sci-fi series. We have some more of that yet to film. But the most recent thing that I filmed just in the last couple of weeks was an independent film called Moonshine Still. And that was a lot of fun. I got to work with Madeline Brewer from Orange is the New Black. She was in the first season. And I got to work with Nick Blood from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I got to work with Lydia Wilson, who was in the most recent Star Trek movie. So it was a really great cast, and the crew was amazing, and we all got along well. And me and I made a new friend and the fellow castmate that I acted with opposite in all of my scenes. We were both employees. His name is Ben Larmore. Very talented. Everybody was so super great to work with. So that was fun. It's a drama, and they're trying to get it into some festivals right now. So it's exciting.
Oh, wonderful. So this film, Moonshine Still, is it out on DVD, or is it going to, how can the listeners see this film, Brian?
Sure. Yeah, they might even still be filming the last day of filming today. So as of right now, we're still in production, I think. And then they're trying to get a rough cut into some festivals that will accept rough cuts films, and then they'll, you know, polish it off.
Yes.
Between the actual deadline and so forth. But I think they're trying to hit up some of the bigger festivals. So if you're a festival goer and it gets in, you might be able to see it there. But ultimately, a lot of filmmakers enter the festivals, the bigger circuits, in hopes that distributors will pick it up. So it really depends on what kind of deal the filmmakers can get, mm-hmm. with through distribution and so forth. The director is repped by one of the bigger agencies in Los Angeles, so hopefully that plays into getting distribution. But at this point, I don't know where it will play, but hopefully it'll be out there for the for the masses to see in the easiest way possible. So
yes,
it's a lot of fun. It's a great story. It's touching and it's pretty unique. Okay. I don't want to give away too many details, but it's I think we got a really unique story on our hands.
So. Oh, I love it. It just must be so fun, Brian. The people you meet doing these different films, it just must be so much fun.
Yeah, it's an adventure. We filmed, we got to stay in some cabins, like in a mountainous, like tree, like big tall pine tree area. And so it was just really gorgeous, the place that we got to stay while we were filming. So it was an adventure in itself, just our living quarters.
Yes. The only experience I've had with films, I was a restaurant owner. I was in the restaurant business for 27 mm-hmm. years, and I had a local filmmaker from Seattle contact me, and he wanted to use my restaurant to film a couple scenes in a movie. Fielder's Choice was the movie. And it was, so I closed the restaurant, and we were literally 6 in the morning to midnight to film, like, I don't know, 5 minutes of film.
Oh, yeah.
But I fell in love with the director, all the actors. We fed them, you know, their meals, and it was the funnest day. It was really great.
It's true. Once, you know, there's an energy on set that's, you know, undeniable. It's always fun. So it's just anytime you get a chance, it's fun to be on set.
Yes, I've been grateful for that experience. Brian, what are you hoping Strings does for your career? What are you looking at?
You know, I think with strings or with, you know, a whole career in general, it's, you're always looking for advancement. I mean, I even hear A-list actors that are still looking to do something more. And I think that's just the artist mentality. You know, what's the next challenge? What's the next adventure to go on? The next thing to really stretch myself. And I think that I'm hoping with strings that, you know, it'll connect me with some more people. It'll get my work, my craft, my artistry out there to more people that would like to bring me on to some more projects, you know? And I also, in this project itself, I hope it's just a fun adventure for people that are watching to go on, that they're enjoying the suspense, that they're enjoying the mystery and the clues and everything. And I will say that the creators do have something in store beyond this. So I'm hoping that we get a good viewership, that we can go for those of us that make it out alive, can go on to the second and possibly third seasons of Strings.
Yes. Now, Brian, where can the listeners see Strings?
Yeah, we have it. We're basically putting it out there ourselves on our YouTube channel. And if you go to stringsseries.com, and that's strings plural, stringsseries.com, it'll take you right to our YouTube channel. And so you can see the first 5 episodes that have been released right now, and we're releasing them every Monday, Thursday, until we reach the 10 episodes that we've done for the first season. And you can also see our music video that we've done. It's also on our channel. It's called Beneath the Strings, which is kind of the first glimpses of scenes from Strings.
Oh, I love it. I know what I'm going to be looking at tonight.
Awesome.
That's exciting.
Awesome.
And I will share that with my peeps. Wow.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, a lot of people are giving us really good feedback. So it's really great to hear that people are enjoying what we worked so hard on.
Yes, yes, it must be so fun. Well, we just have a few more minutes to go here, Brian. Any last words you'd like to share with the audience about what you're going to be doing, or just what you'd like to share about being in the field of work that you're in?
Maybe just some words of inspiration, in that if you are pursuing a career even as an entrepreneur, whether it's something artistic or whether you're creating your own business, to just keep going and keep learning. Because as someone told me about the entertainment industry specifically, it takes 7 to 10 years to be an overnight success. And that's if you're just an overnight success. So it's really more about the marathon mentality rather than the sprint. And I think that that also applies to entrepreneurs, because that's essentially, as a member of the entertainment business, you know, this is a business as well as it is an art. And so you just got to kind of have that mentality. And it's the majority of businesses go out of business within, you know, the first 5 years. And it takes time to really build up clientele and people that like what it is that you're selling. And so I just say, you know, keep going one foot after the other and just keep pushing and keep learning and keep growing. That's my advice. Just keep going. Keep pushing.
Oh, Brian, you are just an inspiration and a beautiful example to others. I just absolutely love it. I adore your energy. I am sending you a big hug from Washington State. This has just been... Oh, thank you, honey. This has been so great. And to our listeners out there, big hugs to everyone. Have a happy day. And I will chat with you in the next show. And Brian, this was such an honor. You have a beautiful day.
Thank you. You as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.